Okay, so we left off last time with a Gemara that was a little bit complicated. I want to review. In fact, it's so complicated. It's on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara appears virtually identically in Rosh Hashanah. So we read through it last time, but I feel vindicated that it is difficult enough to keep the flow because the Ran. There's a very, very... The Ran in his commentary on the Rif, trying to work out certain details, feels the need to recapitulate the entire Gemara with pieces in between. The Rif himself does not quote almost anything from this Gemara because the Rif only quotes the conclusions. But the Ran said, I want to explain things to you. But in order to explain things to you, first I have to go through piece by piece by piece. So, and interestingly enough, the first half of the Ran, where he goes through piece by piece by piece, is cited verbatim, not on this page that I've given you, but cited verbatim earlier in this Siman of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef just cites the Ran, really, from front, from beginning to end, how he sort of digests the sugya. So I want to sort of review and raise some of the issues, and then we'll start to look. I don't know if we're going to get to the whole sheet, or we'll do the whole sheet today, but I want to first look at some Tosafim. But let me sort of restate what the issues are. The problem begins with a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, where it describes that Rabbi Gamliel had tavlaos. He had a chart on the wall on which were engraved moons, a moon or moons. As I think one of the Rishonim points out, some have the gifts of the most Tsuras Levana, and some have Tsuras Levanos. Our Gemara has Levanos because he had many different moons. Right, because the moon has different shapes, different times of the month, different times of the year, and therefore he basically wanted to be able to show them all the options and say, as the Mishnah says, "Hachazeri isem, hachazeri isem." So that's what Rabbi Gamliel did. The assumption is Rabbi Gamliel was a firm fellow, and he wouldn't have done anything that was improper halachically, and therefore the problem, of course, that arises is the pasuk that we read yesterday. I hope some people caught that in the Kriyas HaTorah after all the excitement that Yasser said Dibros, so you got to that little last anticlimactic aliyah that shouldn't have been anticlimactic for you because you know that very important pasuk is there. Lo sasuni ti Elohi chesef Elohi zahav lo sasu lachem. All right, so you shall not make that which is with me gods of silver, gods of gold, you shall not make for you. So the Gemara quotes a statement based upon that pasuk, again, lo sasuniti, that you shouldn't make those things that are mishamesh with me or before me. So at the first step in the Gemara, Abaye explains that what the Torah prohibits here is recreating the temple architecture. Right? The Beis HaMikdash had a heichal, so you're not allowed to build a house that is the same dimensions as the heichal. The Beis HaMikdash had an ulam and had sort of a... Tosus thinks it's open on one side. Almost everybody else says it's really closed. But at the front of the heichal, if this was the heichal, you had a sort of a an ulam in front of it. Not quite as wide, only 10 amos deep. Most Rishonim understand that it was walled on three sides and then most of the fourth. And you had in the middle a big doorway, like 20 amos open. Tosus seems to think that the entire fourth side is open because the Gemara compares it to an architectural structure known as an achsadra. An achsadra is a porched area where it's closed on three sides and it is open on the fourth. In fact, those of you who, if anybody happens to do Daf Yomi, very recently, last week, there was a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua how the world is shaped. They're both assuming probably the world is flat. And the question is, one says that the Olam is Doma La'achsadra. It's closed on three sides and it's open on the north side, which of course is where everything bad comes from. And the other view is that it's actually closed on all four sides. So you're not allowed to make an ulam. When you make a kelim, you make a shulchan, you're not allowed to make a shulchan in your kitchen that looks like the Beis HaMikdash shulchan. You want to make a menorah, you can't make a seven-branched candelabra. You have to make it 8, 9, 6, 5, but you should not make it 7. So the initial response, Abaye said, don't worry, Rabbi Gamliel can have his images of the moon, not a problem, because this pasuk refers to remaking the temple architecture.
So that big menorah that they have right when you go down the stairs to the Kotel, is that Avodah Zarah?
When said Avodah Zarah, is there a 7-branch menorah?
Yeah.
So that's not appropriate to make. If someone made it for you, one of the big issues, There are a few issues in the sugya. Now that you asked the question, let me just reformulate them. Number one, what are you allowed to make? Number two, if someone made it for you, are you allowed to keep it? And the two are separate issues. In other words, one issue is making it might be prohibited, but if, let's say, a non-Jew made it for you, so then the question is there a maris ayin if you're keeping it? Are people going to be choshe that you're worshipping it? In the case of the menorah, it's a fair bet that nobody suspects that. For some reason, I'm not concerned that they're going to be choshe Jew that you made it.
So how come the Haredim didn't make them take it away?
This is Semel Yisrael.
Semel
Yisrael.
I understand that. Just saying.
Could be they made it, they couldn't sell it, so they donated
it. Right in front of the concert.
I don't know. But see, YU is a firm place, because when they put up that mural, the next year they disappeared. The mural was different. So anyway, I don't know why, but you're not allowed to make such a menorah. Unless, what's it made out of?
I don't know.
That's important.
It's painted gold.
But it's made out of copper.
So if it's made out of metal, it's a problem. If it were made out of stone, it wouldn't be, or wood.
Definitely not stone.
And wouldn't be made if it was made out of wood. If it was just on the wood underneath and painted on top, that would be fine. But if it's made out of metal, since the menorah, the way we paskin, had to be made out of metal, then have to be, if they didn't have gold, you can make it out of another metal.
Isn't the
but if it's ceramic, it's
Israel.
Okay, so one of the questions that we do have to address, which won't help you with the menorah, may help with other things in the symbol, is the question of whether or not the prohibition applies in three dimensions or even in two dimensions. In other words, is it only when something is sculpture, when it's bolate, to use the term that the Gemara uses, or is it even when it is shokea, which means literally the opposite of bolate, means sunken in, and the Rishonim say that painted or flat or something like that is the equivalent of shokea. So that's a question. It's a big machlokas harishonim, actually. Which images are prohibited when they're boltot, when they're bolate, and which are prohibited even when they are shokea? So we have to talk about that. So that yours won't help there in terms of the menorah, because that's a sculpture. But if you're talking about the symbol, where it appears in most places, if it's only painted and drawn or something like that, might not be a problem. In fact, according to the Shulchan Aruch, I'm pretty sure would not be a problem. Okay, so... So anyway, that was the first step in the Gemara. But then the Gemara says, it quotes a brisa. This looks like the same brisa, but it keeps adding details or adding words. So the first brisa was, Lo sasun iti, lo sasun kidmus shamashim hamishamshim lefanai. And now the Gemara adds one word into that brisa, bamarom. Okay, so now it's... And so one more detail I should just review. Abaye, the Gemara originally thought that according to Abaye, the only things that are prohibited to make are the things that you can make. Since you can make a temple, and you can make an altar, and you can make a candelabra, and you can make a shulchan, therefore you're not allowed to make those things. But since you can't make an angel, and you can't make a sun, or a moon, or the stars, therefore it's not a problem making images of those, because you can't actually make the thing. So then the Gemara quotes a version that says, Lo sasun kidmus hamishamshim hamishamshim lefanai bamarom. Okay, so now we have to step things up, because there are lots of things that serve before God in the heavens. And amongst those are the heavenly luminaries and the angels, whatever they look like exactly, and the faces on the Merkava, on God's chariot, the lion, the griffin, vulture, the cherubim, the person. And then one might even say, as the Gemara says, God himself, since, as we know, man was created the image of God. The Gemara will say, one reading of Lo Sasun Iti is Lo Sasun Osi. Don't make me, and was it me? So, because man is created the image of God, so the parts of Ha'adam is prohibited. You can't make a human face. Okay, and again, the question is two dimensions, three dimensions. But the problem is that who explains, after the Gemara asked the question of Lo Sasun Kedmus Shamashay Mishamshon Lefanei Bamarom, on the bottom line of Mem Gimel Mem Aleph, Abaye responds and says the Torah only prohibited four faces together. If you want, in order to violate the prohibition, it's got to be all four faces of the chariot of the whichever the chayot, whoever had those four faces on them, you have to make them all together. Okay, and therefore, sun, the moon, and the stars are not included. What's interesting, though, is that Abaye was the one who said previously, Lo asra Torah ella, those things that you can actually make, namely the stuff in the temple. Now Abaye says the Torah only prohibited four faces at a time. So then the Gemara challenges that and said, we already learned, and this is actually a crucial point, that all partsufos, all faces, are permitted except for parts of Adam. Now, you have to. I want to just review something because the Rishonim get a little bit focused on this that we learned on the top of Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. Rav Sheshes had made a statement where he said that he gathered these statements. All mazalos are permitted except for the sun and the moon. All partsufim are permitted except for the partsuf of a person. All images are permissible except for the image of a dragon. Okay, assume amongst animals. So the Gemara's problem that it tried to work out and that we spent some time dealing with was, are these can't don't look like they're all talking about the same thing. Because if it comes to kochavim, all mazalos are mutarim except for the sun and the moon, so the Gemara says you're not allowed to make any of the, you're not allowed to make any of the heavenly luminaries. Obviously, it means if you find a kli with one of these, a vessel with one of these images on it, so then you can assume it's not worshipped unless it's the sun and the moon. If you see Aries on there or any other planet or constellation or whatever else, you don't have to worry. You don't assume they worship me. You're not allowed to make them, but the first statement refers to if you find something with this image, is it Avodah Zarah or not? The last statement, all images are permitted, all tsuros are permitted except for that of a dragon. Once again, the Gemara says it cannot refer to making, because there's no prohibition in making the image of a dragon, or that of any other animals, it would seem. So it sounds like. The only thing the Gemara says it must refer to is if you find a vessel with an image of a dragon on it, you find an image of a dragon somewhere, you have to assume that it's worshipped. Okay, so the first and third statements of Rav Sheshes are everything is permitted in this category except for A or B or C. That means if you find something. It doesn't refer to the prohibition of making. The middle one, which is all the partsufos are mutarim except for that of a person, so the Gemara says, one second, the Mishnah doesn't list partsuf Adam as one of those things that is worshipped. If you find a vessel which has a person's image on it, you don't assume it's, the Mishnah doesn't mention it as something that's worshipped. So that can't be talking about if you find something, what we call motzei, it has to be talking about the prohibition of making the image of a parshav adam. So the problem, of course, the Gemara had was Rav Sheshes said, wait, Rav Sheshes' first statement was about finding a kli with this image. The second statement was about making a kli, but making this image. The third statement, once again, was finding something which has this image on it. Why can't he get his story straight? So Abaye said, no, that's the way it is. And Rava wasn't satisfied with that, so he came up with a different approach. Rava said, no, it's talking about finding. Everything is finding. Ah, but you said the Mishnah did not count Partsufa Adam as one of those things that is prohibited that people worship. The answer is no. There is one Tana who believes that certain human faces are worshipped, namely that of Seraphis, or of the nursing, or we said probably Isis. So those images, according to Rabbi Yehuda, are prohibited. The Chachamim might disagree, but that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So one of the crucial things that's sort of left open right there is, okay, I have a question. According to Rava, is it prohibited to make the image of a human? Because after all, according to Rava, he says that every case is dealing with motzei. So he leaves open the possibility that maybe oseh, even parts of Adam, would be permitted. So the Gemara had said that you can't make, quotes Abaye now, with the four faces. So the Gemara says, but one second, we know that as Abaye himself recognized earlier, that you're not allowed to make the image even of a person. So what do you mean you can't make the four images around the thing? You can't even make a partsuf Adam. So, or let me flip it around. If in fact this is correct, that what you're not allowed to do is to make the four images, then it means it's permissible to make parts of Adam. And the Gemara says, what would the source be that you can't make the image of a man? And to that the Gemara responds that somebody heard it in the public drasha, lo sasun osi, you shouldn't make me. So then the Gemara goes on to quote a brisa that speaks about how you can't make the sun, the moon, and the stars. But there the Gemara says that was talking about in order to worship them. Okay, and that's how they push aside that issue. And finally, the Gemara quotes our drasha one more time. Our drasha one more time, which is lo sasun iti. You cannot make the mushamshai hamishamshem lefana b'amaram like the sun, the moon, the star, the planets, and whatever else. So now the Gemara is stuck. So what does the Gemara say? Rabbi Gamliel had somebody else make it for him. Others made it for Rabbi Gamliel. Let me formulate it that way. Okay, it's not clear whether he asked somebody to make it or not, although it's hard to imagine in those days that you didn't have to custom order, tablets with shapes of the moon on it, but maybe astronomy was a popular hobby, so he was able to, someone had made it already. So that's where the Gemara leaves things. The Gemara leaves things is that you're not allowed to make an image of a human being. You can't make the four images together that are on the chayos, that are that carrying God's throne. You're not allowed to make the sun, the moon, and the stars. And you can't make partzuf ha'adam. You can't make a human face. So one of the crucial questions at first stage is again, as I said before, is this two or three dimensions? We're going to hold off on that a second. Question number two is what is going on with Abaye? Does Abaye keep changing his mind? He keeps whittling down? He keeps modifying? And what's very odd about the sequence statements of Abaye is that when an Amora changes his mind, as when an Amora gives an answer, and then he changes his mind because the Gemara asked the question, what word does the Gemara normally use? Ella Amar Abaye. Ella means a transition. We reject what came before. Now we have a new approach. But the Gemara never says that. It just keeps quoting Abaye, stating things about this pasuk, which seem to perhaps contradict one another. Yes.
Ateret Kohanim has made everything of the Beit HaMikdash, all the Begadim, all the Shulchan, the Neirot, everything that is stated in the Chumash. This is they reconstructed everything. Are they not allowed to do it?
Have to wait. We'll find out. Okay, it's okay. It's actually, we'll see the last line in the Gemara. It was a justification for what they do. What's that?
Education.
Well, we'll see the last line in the Gemara deals with this issue. So then the Gemara says the following. But wait, you're telling me that if Rabbi Gamliel had someone make him four and it's okay, but the Gemara tells a story that Rabbi Yehuda had a chosam. He had some type of a signet ring, and there was an image on it. And Shmuel told him, you need to smash it a little bit. You need to give it a black eye. You need to break the image a little bit. He said, you have to be, he says, same ene the Dane. You got to somehow damage its eye or something like that. Now, Rabbi Yehuda didn't make this ring. He bought this ring. So the question is, why did Shmuel tell him that you had to sort of damage the tzura, damage the image? Now, before I tell the Gemara's answer, which we read, here's a very important question. What image was on that ring? It's a crucial, crucial question. What are the options? Presumably, it has to be one of the things that we saw earlier in the Gemara. Now, I presume it's not one of the Kalim of the Mikdash, because I doubt that could fit on his ring. So that one we'll eliminate. It could have been a partzuf ha'adam. It could have been a partzuf of the four partzufim together from the chayos. Or it could have been the sun, the moon, and one of the heavenly bodies. Okay, now I'll leave out the four partzufim, but the really crucial question is, was it Tzuras Adam, partzuf Adam, or was it Tzuras Chama, Levana, and Kohavim? And that's very important for what comes and follows. So the Gemara says, you know why Shmuel told Rabbi Yehuda that you can't wear that ring as is, you got to do something to it? It's not because he made something. It was out of fear that someone will suspect him of worshipping it. Suspect he's worshipping it. And now the Gemara makes the following statement, explanatory statement, that if you have a ring where the image is three-dimensional sticking out, you're not allowed to wear it, but you're allowed to use it to seal something. Okay, meaning presumably you can't have it around in public where people will see it because they'll think that you worship it, but if you want to seal the wax or something with it, it's okay. Why? Because the image that this Tzura, which is boletet, which sticks out, is going to make, is actually going to be shokat, it's going to be engraved, and therefore it's not a problem. You're not making an image. However, if in fact the tzura on the ring is shokea, whereas if you were to stick it into a lump of clay, now what you're going to wind up with is an image that stands out, so you're allowed to wear the ring. There's no chashad, because people don't worship indented images, apparently. They only worship things that stand out. But you're not allowed to seal with it, because in the process, you're making an image. Now, what this means, obviously, is that for whatever the image that is on this particular seal, it is prohibited when it is three-dimensional to make it, but it is permitted if it is not three, if it's flat or shokea.
But it's three-dimensional, whether it's concave or convex.
So I don't want to use, I shouldn't use the term three-dimensional, say bolate versus shokea.
But convex or concave It's still three dimensional.
I agree. I retract that. Cross three dimensions from the record. It better with it is. I'm going to use the Gemara's language. Bolate. If it sticks bolate. Out, it's sort of an image as opposed to something which is sort of the mirror of the image but sunken.
But Marshall. Kochavim.
Fine, you don't. Okay. So let me. I jumped a step ahead. The Rishonim just assume that. They make that assumption. Let's put it this way. For Chashad, I think it's clear. You have to separate two issues. If people. I think they're assuming, reasonably so, that people were not going to worship it if it were just two dimensional. That wasn't what an idol. Idol was going to be. If it's truly flat. So if you want to argue to me, I think the Rishonim are very reasonable grounds when they say, in terms of the concern whether someone might be chashud for worshipping it, that depends, it has to stick out, otherwise, you know, it's not a problem. If you want to argue to me that in the terms of the prohibition of making an image, that it might be permissible for it to be shakua, but not necessarily flat, one could make such an argument. That's possible. The Rishonim, though, I think, assume that in terms of the flat goes with Shokeh rather than Bolate. But I hear why you can make an argument to the contrary.
They can assume whatever they want, which is not correct.
Okay, let's wait. Let's
go look in any Catholic church and watch people gazing up at the pictures of the Madonna with the halo on her head and worshiping paintings. I mean,
okay. So I'm not going to hear it. I'm not going to make we're going to see the very interesting historical controversy, which we may not get to today, between Rabbeinu Ephraim and Rabbeinu Eliakim of the Baalei HaTosos about the what really is the issue of the stained glass windows.
By the way, the sun and the moon in particular, which you only see as a two-dimensional object. Were even more likely.
Okay. So you should know by that some of the you spoke wisely there. This is a position used to explain part of the explanation of the Shitas of Samri Shonim, the fact that the sun and the moon are seen only in two dimensions. But I would say the following. Even if you assume, based upon what you're saying, though, I would argue that it is, it might be as likely, I guess it's hard to know. You could argue in either way. You could argue that when it comes to Chashad, let me put it this way. Chashad is actually an easier issue to deal with in the following sense. When it comes to Chashad, the Rishonim already say that if you have something where society has changed, in Christian society they assume certain things the people didn't worship, not necessarily in the Madonna, but most types of images they didn't worship, they assume there was no problem with Chashad anymore. And they didn't assume it was some type of blanket gzera against the things in the Gemara. They assume any time there's Chashad of a particular image, you are not allowed to have it. The real issue that's of interest to us was not the Chashad issue, but the question of, does the prohibition of Lo Sasun Iti apply even in flat? So let me tell you, the counter argument why it might not, which is the other things in the pasuk are what? Elohe chesef elohe zahav lo sasu lachem. Those were not flat. Those were sculptured. They were three-dimensional and three-dimensional bolate. So what you said, there are those who split in difference and say that when it comes to the heavenly luminaries, as opposed to parts of Adam, it has to be even two-dimensional is prohibited because that's what it appears to people. But you could understand conceivably, it is not inconceivable why some would say that the prohibition does not apply blanket unless it is bolate.
By the way, both silver and gold were used as a foil long time ago, so they were flat.
So let me put it this way. The way Chazal read the Pesukim, and you could disagree with this, but Chazal read the Pesukim as Elohe Chesef Elohe Zahav was a reference in particular to the Kruvim, about making either Kruvim of silver or extra Kruvim of gold beyond the two that the Torah commanded. So certainly they understood the images, the idea of Elohe Chesef Elohe Zahav as being three-dimensional. I suspect that even if they had foil, and in what stage, I don't know. I mean, when the Torah speaks about it, when they made the tzitz, when you made the big day kahuna that had zav in them, you had to flatten out the gold and cut it into thin strips. You made gold thread out of it. Right. So they certainly had it, but I don't know whether they worshipped that. Okay. So the Gemara says that the issue with Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel's student, was that it wasn't that someone made it from that. It was fine. It wasn't making of the image. The problem was that it was a chashad. So Shmuel told him, you need to You need to disform the object enough so nobody will think that you would worship it. So then the Gemara says, okay, but why wasn't there a concern of chashad by Rabban Gamliel? So ultimately the Gemara says that there's no chashad when it's very public. And even though Rabban Gamliel was a private individual, he was the Nasi, so everybody was always visiting. That's where the Gemara gets to it first. Then the Gemara offers what it seems to be two other answers. The second answer is that Rabbi Gamliel's was shel prakim. It was pieced together. In other words, it was something that you could take apart. So the way Rashi and some Rishonim understood was that Rabbi Gamliel, the question we're dealing with is still the first question, chashad. People are going to suspect that you worship it. In other words, the reason why it was permissible for Rabban Gamliel to have these images is still because somebody else made it from him. Ah, but people are going to suspect you of worshiping it. The answer is, Rabban Gamliel only put it up when the Einim came, and when the Einim left, he took it apart, so no, people would not typically see it. And it was only together, the only time it was together, he wasn't worshiping it. You saw Einim were looking at it to use it. And then the Gemara concludes with one final answer, and this seems to be a totally different answer, which is Lehislam Eitshani. Now, for the purposes of teaching or learning, it is permissible. And they quote a pasuk, Lo Sumad Lasos, that you're not allowed to learn the ways of the nations in order to do, Aval Ata Lamed Lahavin Ulahoros, in order to understand and to teach. So that seems to be a completely separate answer. The answer to your question about Ateret Kohanim is that it's Lahislamed. That is to be able to teach. That's not there for ostensibly not there for aesthetic purposes. But the opposite of teaching is for aesthetic purposes.
So Semel Yisrael from Yechezkel with the dmut of the menorah with the Alei Zayit, which let's see, there's is a.
Well, again, if it's
it's not the whole Orot.
But if it's two dimensional, I mean,
no, it's
not
three. It's always three. It's in front of the Knesset, and it's in front of everywhere.
All right, it probably wouldn't be the only Avera that the Israeli government has violated. You know,
this is Mossad Arav Kook and everybody else give their okay.
And it's made out of metal.
Yes, of course.
Yes, Marshall.
It was gifted to the Knesset by the Parliament of the United Kingdom in 1956. So okay. It might be that
because it was made by others. Oh. Okay, so that could be the answer.
No, but there are plenty of symbols.
There are plenty of symbols.
Okay.
You can see it in Israel.
It's also
for sure.
Not accurate because the base is wrong. They take the base from the Arch of Titus as opposed to the
wings. It doesn't matter, but for the purposes of the Israel, it doesn't matter that much. Right, in other words, we don't require you. There's a bit more obvious loophole, which was that you could have said it needs kaftor. It doesn't have all the kaftorim and prochim and gibiyim, except for that's not a requirement by menorah. In fact, you only put that on a menorah when it was actually made of pure gold. If you made it out of another metal, there was no din of having kaftor, vaferach, and gavia, those various pieces that the Torah describes. So that's not going to solve the problem. In other words, the menorah may have an ideal image, but it takes a lot to make it puzzle. You know, once you put seven branches, you know, and it's made out of the right material, said you're, you know, you have to work hard to make it puzzle. So, okay. Maybe there's an answer, but you know, I think part of the problem is that we sometimes look at this and we're a little surprised because we live in a culture where idols are generally not worshipped. You know, I don't want to say never. I'm told that at the University of Maryland, I think it's football, is literally an Avodah Zarah, and there's this big terrapin, I think. And they're literally before games or nights before games, there are people who make offerings to it and put candles.
Wait, Notre Dame?
No. University of Maryland. I don't know what. Notre Dame is Catholic. They're probably from, but.
Paul Jesus in Notre Dame.
Touchdown Jesus.
Okay. So Avodah Zarah is not totally gone, but it's not particularly common.
It's not worship like seriously.
That's right.
I don't.
It's sort of like.
I don't know. Football, college football is like a religion. So I don't know what exactly they.
For sure, Hindus like leave offerings of fruit and everything to their Ganesh.
The Far East is full of Avodah Zarah.
What's that?
There's way over a billion people who are actively.
No, no, I know, but in the I say in Western culture, for the most part, that's all I'm saying. So for us, it's very striking. This seems very odd. It's like, what's the big deal about making these images? Like, nobody worships it. Nobody, you know. So it seems strange to us, but that's only because we're living in a historically anomalous period, at least in terms of the scope of human history. And so these prohibitions are still in effect, as strange as they may strike us, because they don't speak to our sort of daily life. So anyway, l'Islamid is however, the notion of doing it for educational purposes is very important because it does solve not all problems, but many of the problems. It doesn't solve the mural in the YU's library Islami, but it means if you're, you know, writing a science textbook and you want to put images, you know, of the sun or the moon, so that's permissible because that's l'Islamid. Okay, so now let's...
But every kid's picture that has the sun, I mean...
So the question is, how close does it have to be? You know, when you make a sun with a smiley face in the middle, at that point, is that really still considered the sun? I'm not so sure. You know, I know. So, now, it happens to be, if you want to be Melamed Zchus for the children, happens to be, even though you would hardly know it reading the Beis Yosef, there's a block of Rishonim who assume that there is no prohibition when it's two-dimensional. There is the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pask in that way. There are some major Rishonim who assume that two dimensions is Asur, Tosfos, and the Rambam. But there's a whole group of Rishonim, the Ravid, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, who the Halachos Gedolos, I believe, also one of the major Gaonim, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, who hold that it does not apply, at least by the sun and the star, it does not apply when it's in two dimensions. So that's not the accepted practice. But I think for the children. I would question whether that's really, you know, when they put the face in it, whether that really constitutes the sun and the moon.
But
if you'd like to discourage your children from doing it, so that's not, okay.
But that also kind of begs the question, what happens with, like, impressionism? I mean, not every painting is photorealistic.
Right, so I don't think it has to... I don't think the assumption is that it's limited to photorealistic. The question is when it's moved from being... Again, there's... This is always the question with when you talk about art. Is when does it move from being simply a representation of something as opposed to being the thing? In other words, if I draw, you know, a little dot and I say that's the light of the moon coming, right? Presumably it's not a moon, right? At what point does something move from, or if you draw something which is not looks exactly like the moon but it stands for the moon, at what point does it transition from being simply a symbol into actually being an image of that? That's hard to define exactly. But my inclination is that when it comes to the children, so I don't think we need to give them such a hard time for drawing the sun, especially with the smiley face. What?
Paintings of the Rebbe.
So the question...
According to the Rambam, that would be no good, right?
No, not true. So the Rambam distinguishes... We're going to see. The Rambam distinguishes between... The Rambam is the one who says that the only time that two dimensions is prohibited is the Chama Levana and the Mazalos. The reason some suggest for that is what Marshall said, which is that we see those as two dimensional, and therefore that's why it was prohibited as two dimensional. Whereas parts of Adam, you can see, look, some of what you're going to see, not as much as we're used to seeing in Avodah Zarah, is an attempt to sort of justify communal practice. And there's still a tension. The controversy between Rabbeinu Ephraim and Rabbeinu Eliakim is, you know, one of them commanded the windows be taken out of the shul thing, and other, you know, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's fine. Now, I think in that case, the weight of the textual evidence is on the side of those who are lenient.
Well, that's no different than the Rabbeinu Tam with things that we've learned forever in terms of justifying communal practice.
Well, no, it isn't, except for there, I would argue, the strong textual basis is in favor of the Matirim. Normally, you're looking at something, wait, this is against the Gemara, okay, but we do it because X, Y, and Z. There, it would seem the strong weight of the evidence is that it's actually permitted. And in some ways, the proof to that is that it's not the Rama who quotes this, the fact that it's permitted, it's the Mechaber who quotes it. When it comes to parts of Adam, where you do sort of see people playing with this, is the argument that's made, and this you'll see amongst in the Baal, we'll see a little bit in Tosfos already, is that it has to be a parts of Shalem. If it's only partial, or if the features are blurry or something, then we say it's not really, you know, then it's not really Asur, right? So that seems to be an attempt at justifying, I think, what was more common, which one could at least, which was debatable. Marshall?
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, did any of the
Nobody discusses. I would have. So here's the question. Yeah, so nobody, I think, discusses that in that discussion. There are Rishonim who clearly assume it's an Adam, right? In other words, because accepting for the moment that flat is the same as Shokeah, so that proves that there must be some images that are permissible when they're flat of Shokeah, right? The question is what was on it, and certainly would seem to suggest Adam. The question is, was it Dafka Adam, or could have been any of the Partsufim? So that's the question. So the Rishonim will say that there's no difference that there's no difference between parts of Adam and the heavenly bodies, and both of them are prohibited in three dimensions and permitted in two dimensions, or shakua, as long as it's not bolate. So they are assuming that passage is lav dafka. Some say explicitly that I don't know what they do with the Ritva. I think says explicitly it's got the sun, moon, and stars in it. I don't know what he does with the ayin. I'm wondering if. Right. The truth is, the word. Right. The question is it metaphorical? Did he mean, you know? Also, ayin also can mean something else. Ayin can sort of be the essence or the appearance of. You have the term eino, v'hinei hafach hanega es eino v'hanega lo fasa. So hafach hanega es eino means marehu. Means its appearance. So it could be that's the way. You know, if you wanted to, you could read the Gemara using that meaning. Okay. So now, let's take a look. There are a couple of toasts I wanted to look at. What's that? Yeah, Men Gimel Men Aleph. I'm starting with Thibur Maskal Lo Sasoniti. Now, let me just give you the background to the first question of Tosas. On the next Amud, the Gemara is going to say, and we read this already, is that you can't make images of the angels. Now, of course, what does an angel look like?
Yeah, how do you know?
I know, that's the problem. That's the problem. So Tosus asks the following, however. He says, Tema, it is a wonder. Kevon, the parts of Adam lechudei asur, since the image of a man alone, without the other three images and the thing, is prohibited, amai itzrich lesser demush sham shamashim shabamarim. Why do you need a pasuk to tell you that you're not allowed to make the angels? And the assumption of the question, of course, is that angels are, all the angels look like people. Which is a logical thing, because anytime you look at art, right, you see images of Christian art through the medieval and early modern period, so angels, of course, look like people, except for they got, like, wings on them or something like that.
How else are you going to do it?
I mean, I have no idea. That's the funny thing in all of this,
yeah,
right?
Jesus also looks like a white guy with long black hair and blue eyes.
So we understand, except for if you go to Africa, you know, and there he looks different. But so I understand that part. But at least we understand that you we know what the model for Jesus is. You know, your ideal of what a person looks like, right? So because he was a person, and there are people, right? The problem is that. Nobody has anybody seen an angel and actually.
What is the Haftarah yesterday describing?
What's that?
What is the Haftarah yesterday describing?
So I understand it's describing Isaiah's image. The problem is that there's not.
Isn't this where this whole idea of wings comes from?
Yes, right. I understand that,
yeah,
but
it's
the
not,
question
it's
is
not. It's not. There is a context for it.
Okay, so I'm gonna. All right, so I'm gonna push the question back on you here. I'll let you. You're the firm one, and I'm gonna play not from here, which is the following. When easy, I understand. That's where I have to do that here. Okay, with you. So they don't know. Nobody knows who's on the other end. I haven't. Okay, so when Ezekiel sees a picture, when Ezekiel sees a picture of the Merkava, right? He sees an image of God's throne. What does that throne look like? So I'm willing to speculate the following. If you were to look at thrones in 6th century Mesopotamia or 7th century, that is the image that Ezekiel sees. Because a human being cannot see what he can't imagine.
Actually, he sees a mechanical thing that was not there.
Because God is...
Am I a rationalist or am I straight up Haredi here?
No, you're being Haredi because
okay,
the rationalist
so
says
prophecy. He saw the true thing that he was supposed to see.
But how an image that he can see can only be an image that he can see.
That he understands.
I understand, and therefore it's not a surprise that his chariot, the throne looks like a throne would look like. Otherwise, and that's why he chooses the term for throne, because otherwise what would it mean?
So why would you assume the throne doesn't look like what a throne looks like?
Does it look exactly like a 7th century throne, which you may have some evidence for also?
Perhaps.
So my assumption is that it will. Because God doesn't sit on a physical throne. I'm a rationalist here.
So what's the vision of the angel, though? That's not a 7th century angel, is it?
So I don't know of what we know about... You know, I assume that the belief in angels was not, I'm gathering, was not limited to Jews. Remember that angel, I assume that again, what is an angel anyway?
Correct.
It's a messenger of God. What does that mean? So, let's put it this way. In biblical literature, angelology does not start to, let's say, develop until late in the First Temple period. As you don't, the first ones, the only image... earlier, not an image, the only description of a heavenly throne scene earlier is in Micha, not the famous Navi Micha, the less famous Navi Micha, Michayu ben Yimla, at the end of Malachim Aleph, when Ahav is being judged. And
right, but
you know,
visited by angels, right?
What does the Pasuk say? Anashim nitzavim alav. And when it described as Malachim, there are messengers. Again, I'm not saying they weren't divine beings. I don't know what it's very... it's very tricky. You are correct that the notion of angels with wings comes from Isaiah and probably also from Ezekiel, right, where we have the fullest sort of descriptions. I think when Daniel describes the angels, when the names like Michael and those all first appear in Daniel, and I don't know the book so well, but I don't recall that they're actually described in the same type of imagery. I think they may have like glowing faces, but. So Betosis is assuming that people, you know, look like angels, look like people, and therefore, if you're not allowed to make parts of Adam, why does the Gemara need a separate drasha on Amud Beis to tell us that you can't make the images of the Chayos and the Ofanim and the Srafim, which are the various kinds of angels? So Tosa says, "Be'yishlomer devadai leka lamala shumalach v'sarah for Ofanukruv kidmus Adam mamish." It's a very non-rationalist answer. There's certainly none of the angels of Baal look exactly like a person. Therefore, there cannot be the prohibition of making parts of Adam cannot apply to making the parts of angels. Which I still don't understand, because if when people drew angels, they might have put wings on them, but they drew faces of angels like faces of people. It was a parts of Adam. So I understand that you can't make the parts of the angels, but nobody knows what that looks like. Okay. I'm just confused. Natosis asks... to ask a much better question, a question that we can relate to more easily. Remember, the Gemara had two separate interpretations. The Gemara said you can't make the four-part sufim together. Again, the lion, the griffin, vulture, the kruv, the cherub, and the person. And yet you have a separate pasuk, or separate drasha, same pasuk, that tells you you're not allowed to make a parts of Adam. So what's the obvious question? If you're not allowed to make a parts of Adam, then of course you're not allowed to make a four-faced image where one of them is an Adam. Because, and the Gemara is saying there's no prohibition on making the image of a griffin vulture or a lion or of a cherub. It's only prohibited making the three, all four together with parts of Adam. But parts of Adam is separately prohibited. As soon as you make the parts of Adam, it's a problem. So Tosa says, V'im Tomar, the second question, Tosa. Kevon, the parts of Adam lechude asur, since the parts of just the person is prohibited, am I itzterich lesser the mus arba panim ba'adati? Why does you need a separate, in effect, drasha to tell us you can't make all four together? Tefukle the ika demus adam. It should be sufficient for you that it's already demus adam on it. It's prohibited. So Tosra says, gives two answers. V'yesh lomar l'chayiv af kishematza parts of adam v'hishlum dalid panim. You have to give points for cleverness here. It means, let's say you find the image of a man. You find a block of wood and there's an image of a man on one side. So you say, great. No prohibition of making the parts of adam because I didn't make it. Somebody else did. You know what? I want to have my nice piece of divine art on my wall, so I'm going to engrave an image of an Arianus on the second side and a Nesha on the third side and a Kriv on the fourth side. I didn't make parts of adam, so that's why there's a prohibition nonetheless of, even if you didn't make the parts of Adam, of finishing out the image where you have all four faces on it. Inami, lav or bishnei lavim. That's the cop-out answer, which is, you're right, it would be prohibited. Now you get two sets of malchus. When you make the parts of Adam on the side, so then you get one set of malchus, and then when you make the last of the parts of him, you get a second set of lashes for having violated two averus. Of course, I have a problem with this teretz on multiple levels. Number one, both prohibitions are derived from the very same words. Lo sasoniti. whether you eat as Los Sason T, Los Sason OC. So I don't understand why you can get two Malkos. That's just a question. My other observation is that if you're a wise guy and you want to minimize on your punishment and you want to make four images, make the parts of Adam last. Because then you've only done one action, and for one action and one pasuk, you should only... Oh, I'm sorry, I take that back. I answered my first question, but my second point is correct, which is that when you make it in the same action, one action, you only get, and one iser, one prohibition, being violated los asuniti, so you should only be able to get one set of malkus for that. The answer to my question is that even if it comes from the same pasuk, if you eat chazir twice, you get two sets of malkus if you weren't on each. So if you first make parts of Adam, you get, even though it's the same iser, same pasuk, so you get malkus for that if you warned, and then when you make the other three faces, when you make the last one, you can be warned to get malkus for that as well. Fine. Okay. Fine. So Tosus continues and says the following. The Yesh L'dakdek, second last narrow line, Midaloka Amar Ela Shema Mina. It doesn't say Ela Shema Mina. It doesn't say the word Ela. Shema Mina Didrasha Delo Sasun Iti. Just want to get the correction in here. Asya Aliba the Chulei Alma. Va'afilu aliba the Rava, the Oki Masnisan the Le'el, Kule Bemotse. So, Rava earlier had said, I mentioned this earlier in Shir, Rava had said that all three statements of Roshesh refer to finding an object. So one might have walked away and said, guess what? Rava holds that it's permissible to make a Paratzufa Adam alone. So Tosef says, nope. Don't say that. Only the day, according to Rava, lo teduk mine dasias adam muteris. Don't make an inference. If you find the image of a human being, you can't keep it because maybe it was made as an avodah zarah, because it's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. However, to make it would be permissible. Devadai asurahi. It is certainly prohibited. V'chein mashma lekaman dekaamar taba shechosama shokea osur lachtomba. And Tosa says it would appear that is the case from the Gemara later. That was the ring case, and this is important to pay attention to what Tosus is saying. The Gemara said, you're not, if you have a ring, which is shokea, the image is sunk in. You're not allowed to seal with it. You're allowed to wear it because people don't worship the sunken image. But you're not allowed to press into the seal with it because you're making a three-dimensional image. So Tosus says, and this is that mistama means, presumably, hainu beparts of Adam. That's dealing with the parts of Adam, Marshall. He's saying the ring's got a person's image on it. The ein regid lachto metzuras kochavim umazalos, because it's not typical to use the images of luminaries on seals. The chain halacha, and that is the halacha. The parts of Adam asur lachtom v'asur lasos. You're not allowed to make the image of a person. Okay, that's what Tosus says. Now, what's clear from Tosus then is that the image of a person, sunken in, and presumably flat as well, as we're going to see in a second, is permissible. Okay? But Tosus... Yes, Marshall?
I apologize, but no. I don't understand the basis for Tosfos' factual statement that it is more typical to have signet rings with human figures on them than celestial bodies.
Okay.
I actually would think it's the exact opposite, and you can actually still get signet rings made today. Actually, there are a few companies that make them, and I think by far the most obvious thing that people do is combinations of non-human faces.
So that the question is,
what's the empirical that basis for Tosfos' statement?
I don't know, because presumably, I don't know, was signet rings still being used in the medieval period?
Yes.
So it's very possible Tosfos looked around, and that was let's say 12th, 13th century. So my assumption is that Tosus is describing his reality.
Bible and music?
Ballpark, yeah. I mean, the Bali Tosus cover an extended period from before till probably the left of the Rambam.
Bible and Museum has a complete collection of rings, all of mazalot, all of celestial...
Now, I just want to say, the Bible Lands Museum probably, they have signet rings or cylinder seals?
No, signet rings.
Really?
With mazalot, because it was customary to seal it.
Well, maybe that's why. Well, maybe they don't collect the ones with Adam because they broke them all because they were Avodah Zarah. I don't know. So, or they or be a chashad. They don't want to have those rings in their chashad.
There's letters and there's mazalot. So mazalot were either stars or the symbols of the stars.
Okay. I can't. I'm not going to defend Tosis's position because I don't. I can't speak to any empirical evidence one way or the other. However, the last line in Tosis says, "Umihu osam tsuros adam shetsovim besedinim bitzavaim bechein berikba mutarim." You had images of people that were dyed on sheets or were woven on. Those are permitted because it's only they don't do a full face. They only do chatzi partzuf. Now, what appears from Tosfos then is what is the status of a human being in three dimensions? I'm sorry, in two dimensions. What would it appear? What is Tosis's position on that?
It can't be a full person.
All right. It seems it can't be a full person. That's what's so interesting. Because in the previous, what does Tosis do in the previous line? Tosis said that a three-dimensional, a ring, the ring the Gemara is talking about is probably a human being. And that, the Gemara says, you're allowed to make shokea. Now, the question
you
might...
never have a full person out of a ring.
But that's why they have profiles. In the rings, they have a profile. They don't have a face. They have a profile of a face.
I'm sorry?
They have a profile of a face on the ring. And that's
so that wouldn't be that would not be a part of Shalim. Now, it would be tempting to say that, for Marshall, that Tosus thinks that flat is the same thing as bolet. But Tosus later on Mem Gimel Beis makes it clear they don't believe that. So I'm not quite sure how to part what was bothering Tosus in the first place about these partsufim. Now in theory, rikma, which is sort of a woven, you might argue is three dimensional. So if you have a flat sheet and then you sort of weave something, it's pretty flat, but it's still raised, and therefore it might be prohibited. But I'm not sure what he's thinking about in terms of the tzavayim. I assume tzavayim means dyed, and that's going to be completely flat. So I'm not sure quite how to deal with that.
All right, the coins during the time of the Maccabim were also, some of them were profiles, some of them were images, some of them were images of Klei HaMikdash.
So that question I could answer, I might get in trouble, but I think I could say it, is that maybe they had a different interpretation. What? No, I'm joking. It could have been, you know, Rav Shechter likes to say that talking about the Rambam's theory of the development of Torah Shebaal Peh, we know from the Book of Maccabees that the Hasidim wouldn't fight on Shabbos, mm-hmm. and the Greeks waited till Shabbos and would slaughter them because they wouldn't fight back. And so the Maccabees decided to fight on Shabbos. So Shechter describes it that the Sanhedrin of that time sat down and they said this can't be, and they found the basis in the Pesukim that in fact Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos, that you're allowed to violate Shabbos to save life, and fighting in war is one of those things that is to save your own life, and therefore it's permissible. So you could say the same thing. So, but it means that until the Maccabees came along, there was no such drasha, there was no such interpretation. So you could say the same thing here. The Maccabees, and I actually say that somewhat seriously. It may be that understanding of the prohibition did not yet exist in the time of the Maccabees. It was expounded upon by a later Sanhedrin. Aaron, you look very puzzled.
Just thinking that throughout the history of the Jewish people, that they figured out that the Jews are just not going to fight on Shabbos.
I can't answer that question. I understand. I understand. Well, listen, whatever.
Christian didn't figure that one out. You know, had to go to the Greeks. They figured it out.
I don't know. Maybe it may be that they were just firmer in the time of the Greeks and they were keeping Shabbos more. I don't know. Okay. So anyway.
That was my perplexity.
I understand. I have said that. I have wondered about that particular question. But okay. But it's clear the Hasidim weren't fighting.
Right.
You know, so. Okay. Now, a couple of other Tosafim. Turn the page. The top of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. So this is a function of why Abaye keeps changing his mind. And so Tosaf says the following. Omeri, the top Tosaf. D'chol eilu teirutzim shel Abaye emes hein. They're all correct. In other words, they're not in conflict with one another. From the fact that it doesn't say each time, oh, Abaye changed his mind. Abaye wasn't retracting. In fact, we would say Abaye wasn't presenting this wasn't in the Gemara at all. The Gemara was using Abaye. Abaye had made multiple statements. Tosa says, Elami Tchila, Haya Doresh Menamik, or Lesa Shamashim Shamata, Kagon Hechov Ulam. Originally, Abaye darshaned one drasha, Acha Kach Lesa Shamashim Shebemadar Elyon. Then he had another drasha to prohibit those things in the upper abode, which was Sesrafim Ofanim. And then, Ubashamayim Atachtonim Chama, Ulavana Kochavu Mazalo, Shenkvum Berakia Sheni. In other words, Abaye had multiple drushes. The way some of the other Rishonim say it, in fact, is Abaye wasn't talking in our sugya. The Gemara was using Abaye. So the Gemara had a problem. Rabbi Gamaliel had these images. How could he make these images? So first they quote Abaye's statement, and the Torah says, Lo Sasoniti. So first they quote one statement of Abaye, who explains one thing, and the Gemara's hope is, well, that will limit it to that case. But then the Gemara quotes another Braisa, and then they quote another statement of Abaye, Abaye also said, not in our context, independently, where Abaye says, okay, this and the following, and then the Gemara thought that was the answer. And then finally they realize that doesn't work because there's a fuller version of the Braisa. And then they quote another statement of Abaye to sort of make things work out. But that's why the Gemara never says, Ella Amar Abaye. Meaning when you get to the end of the Gemara, one could have said, you know what? Once we reject the original, once the original answer that you're not allowed, Abaye said that you only can't make things that you could make, namely the architecture of the temple, once we reject that, you might say, you know what, we don't hold to that at all. You want to build a seven-branched menorah? Not a problem. So Tosfos says, no. The Gemara never retracted. It wasn't Ella Am Abaye. Abaye never changed his mind. The Gemara never rejected earlier Abaye. It's just multiple statements of Abaye. I'm not going to, I don't want to take the time to do it because it's a little confusing, but you have to sort of, you still actually have to work on making Abaye's statements consistent with one another, of why he needed to utter each one, in fact. In other words, if you think about it, the initial statement that you're not allowed, the Torah only prohibited making things that you can actually make, so once we get to the later stage of Gemara, that's not true. So some of the, in other words, it's not true. The Torah does prohibit things, making a sun, the moon, the stars, but you can't make yourself. So if you're really interested, I'm not going to do it here and now. The Ran quotes some approaches to sort of how to explain what Abaye's statements meant in their original context, why he uttered them, and the Gemara is using it for its own purposes. Okay. Next. Let's go down. I'm going to leave the question of asking a guy to do it for you aside for the moment. We can maybe talk about that next time. I want to touch upon one last Tosfos, which is the fourth Tosfos on the page. Tosfos says, V'harama Gamliel Yochidhu. The Gemara had said that there is no chashad. There is no chashad by Rabbim, when you have when it's public, which is why that shul in Babylonia, Shafi Yasiv, that was the name of the shul, was allowed to have the Andarti, that big image in the front, and still Levi and Shmuel's father used to daven there. Why? Because it's Bishel Rabbim, nobody's going to be Choshe. They didn't put up that statue, probably the government did. But nonetheless, there wasn't a problem of Chashad. They could daven in that shul. So the Gemara says, yes, but Rabbi Gamliel was a Yachid. So the Gemara answers whatever it answers. Tosfos was bothered by a question. Tosfos says, "V'haram gamlil yachad hava, v'yim tomar amai lo mishani detsuras levana lo haisa boletes ulakach asa raman gamlil." This could have gone at any stage in the Gemara. Why did the Gemara not make the following proposal? A tsuras cham and levana, tsuras in general, only prohibited when they stick out, and Raman Gamliel's images were presumably flat. Right. He didn't need a sculpture, and that should have solved the problem. So Tosa says, "V'omer ri v'rabenu tam v'riva." Three of the Balei Tosa say, "Ki bachama ulavana umazalos, ein chiluk bein boltim l'shokim." That the chama, levana, and mazalos, there's no distinction between whether they stick out or whether they are sunken. And Tosa is assuming that flat is also sunken. V'chein berakia shokin hein, v'lo maflig b'hachi. And in the sky, they're also, that's Marshall's observation, they're flat, right? You see the sun looks two-dimensional, the moon looks two-dimensional, and that's why it's prohibited to make a sun and the moon even when it's in two dimensions. However, the Gemara never makes any distinction by images of a person. By partsufim, there it matters whether it's two-dimensional or three-dimensional. But when it comes to the sun and the moon, it makes absolutely no difference. So that's where Tosfos leaves it. The Rambam has the same distinction. The Ran quotes, in effect, two other opinions. One is that they are all prohibited, even when they are flat or sunken in. I don't know how that opinion would explain the Gemara about the ring. And the second opinion, which I mentioned before, which a group of Rishonim actually subscribe to, is that we always distinguish between two and three dimensions. And according to those Rishonim, in fact, would be permissible to draw a sun, moon, and the stars if it were two-dimensional. The Shulchan Aruch happens to Paskin, like Tosfos, like the Rambam, which is that when you have parts of Adam, it's only prohibited if it is three-dimensional. It's also only prohibited if, I think the Shulchan Aruch quotes that opinion, that if it's everything full. But the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the heavenly luminaries, so the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that one may not make even if it is two dimensions. And the exception, the Rambam and the Rif only quote the one exception at the end, which was L'Islam Eichani. The Rambam, I think, may not even quote it all. He omits the entire thing. But the Rif quotes L'Islam Eichani, and I think that we accept that assumption, that if, in fact, it was done for the purposes of educational purposes, not for aesthetic purposes, then it would be permitted. At that point, it may not make a difference whether it's in two or three dimensions. I mean, usually it's going to be in two dimensions, but if one wanted to develop a model or something of educational purposes, I presume that there's no difference between two and three dimensions.
What about pictures?
So I think pictures are an issue. I mean, again, what question?
If you hang up like Earthrise, it was just enough.
So the prohibition is making it for those purposes.
Right.
So if one walked into a store and burnt it, so I think printing it is making it. If you walked into the store and you bought it, that's a separate issue. And then that should be technically permissible. We don't seem to be concerned about a Marisayan that you made the image. No, the concern of Marisayan or Hashad is only on that you worship it, which nobody's going to assume today that you're worshiping the picture. But we don't seem to be concerned that somebody will be choshed you, suspect you, that you actually made the image which was prohibited. So I think technically speaking, it's permissible if you buy it, you know, from a store. Ordering it is something we'll talk about. We can talk about next time, 2 weeks from now, when we talk about the Amira La'akam issue, asking an Andrew to make it, because that was one of the Gemara's answers. How Rabbi Gamliel was able to do it? Acherim Asula. Acherim Asula. Others made it for him. That's why it's permitted. Are you allowed to ask an Andrew to make it? Okay. We are not.